Alarmcon's talk about. First, quickly introducing myself, then why our group thinks it needs to do what to do, what we aim to achieve, what methods can be used there, the opportunities that we see, well, specifically in the field of nonviolent civil disobedience. Then Scientist Rebellion itself, what have we done, what we're going to do. And lastly, what can you do to help out? Well, first about myself. I'm a security architect and pen tester at SDB Group, a large SaaS in healthcare. Very long ago, I was one of the editors at Hectic. Those of a certain age will know. Co-CEO of Utopia, the BBS ages. Creator of Partijgedrag, which is a political voting transparency database, which I've now been doing for about 10 years, longer probably, and which I'd love to get help with. So if you're into politics, let me know. The CTI League admin. CTI League is a group of CTI specialists which help out specifically healthcare. In COVID times, there was a lot of ransomware attacks, and we tried to help out best we could. Scientifically, I'm a Master of Science, Artificial Intelligence at the University of Amsterdam. I've my father, he was one of the chief scientists at the KNMI, the Dutch Meteorological Institute, and I actually did a research article with him on using artificial intelligence in meteorology, which was quite a fun thing to do. I like footnotes. I really like things with good sources that you can check for yourself, and not the social media stuff. Why do we bother? You probably know, but it's good. I'll briefly go into this. Droughts and floods are really happening. A very increasing trajectory. The Horn of Africa, the southern part, now has had many droughts in a row, and the nomads there actually don't really have their life anymore because the cattle is gone, and they need to find a new way of living because the environment has just become too hostile. And I think that's way underreported in Europe, in the Western countries. Germany also it's hitting Europe. The likelihood of severe floods has increased by factor 1.2, so that's 20% at the least, and 900%. It's very quickly getting worse. Heat waves are really worldwide, the norm. These graphs, you probably know them. This shows in dark blue, a bit cooler temperatures, and the darker red it gets, the hotter. And worldwide, these are all different continents. The temperatures, all the record temperatures are, the last decennium. In India, recently, Jacobabad hit 50 centigrades. I mean, we may really make parts of the world unlivable. And in Europe, we were quite lucky to be in a relatively cool area, but also there, it's getting a lot hotter. I actually made these slides before the heat waves that just happened. That's just an encore. July 2019, there were 1,435 heat-related deaths in France, of which about 35% can for certain be linked to global warming. In America, in the US, the heat waves are 150 times more likely. And this is not just some random article, this is from Nature. We as techies are also already being hit. Just last week, Google and Oracle had cloud outages because they couldn't take the heat. Because it's so rapidly increasing. On the other hand, also due to warming and pollution, coral is dying on a tremendous scale. And coral is really, the foundation of underwater life. We've lost about 30 to 50% since 1980. So, that you can understand the impact, and it's getting worse. One last thing. Because the weather makes the weather makes the harvest more unpredictable. You can have suddenly a huge heat wave, or suddenly that the field is totally underwater, and then the crops are gone. So expect more of that. The biodiversity loss is a related problem that's partly due to the heat, but also due to the lots of poisons that we use to try to keep our agriculture ever in the incline. It's not really good. The IPCC, for those who don't know it, it's an international community on incredible worldwide scale of researchers about any specialty, which together, and that's really unique in world history, worldwide together they try to find a consensus on what is happening in the world. And their consensus is we have a brief and rapidly closing window of opportunity to secure a livable and sustainable future. Very high confidence. Very high confidence in scientific terms. You don't just throw that around, then you really need to be very certain. What needs to be done? And now I'll align with the Extinction Rebellion demands, which I have been very well put together. There are a lot of scientists in Extinction Rebellion, also outside of Scientist Rebellion, which I'll get to later. The overarching is climate justice, and that's there is a fair transition enabling everybody around the world to together solve this problem. And currently, the Western world is here. We are causing most of the pollution. We should invest an equal amount in order to solve it. Half of the population hardly emits any CO2 compared to us. They are the people who have the most problems with it. Then the first demand, previous one was number zero, tell the truth. And that's politicians and the media need to honestly tell us what we're facing and not scuttle it away. Here's our two Dutch posts from recent times. The Raad van State, which is high juridical presence, they say, the climate action that the government does is way insufficient. They really should do a lot more. And for the part of the media, if you have a subtitle, 400 extra dead due to a heat wave, a lot of 80 pluses are have deceased, and then you put a picture of a woman at the beach, then I think as the media, you failed. There's actually a catch-22 here that politicians, journalists, and the general public sort of keep each other from exit. Politicians are voted away when they do stuff that the general public doesn't want, doesn't enjoy. Journalists, they are not read when they bring bitter news. They like to sugarcoat it a bit. Yeah, if they really bring it harshly, then they just won't get read as much. And the general public, they expect the journalists and the politicians to inform us and, well, be honest about this. And so they think, in general, if they don't have a scientific background, if they don't really dive into it, from, okay, well, it's nice. I mean, I can go to the pool every now and then. So as such, they vote for politicians who don't want all this hard action. In the meantime, we have oil companies and other companies which have a short-term benefit from keeping the status quo. And they have a lot of techniques to keep us from getting active. They lobby a lot, so they are 10 to 1 outspent organizations like Greenpeace, like Milieu Defense, etc., which lobby for better climate action. The politicians who don't want to move, they say, well, we need more measurements, or, well, it's just too expensive, we can do it. They refer to bad signs in order to keep us from moving and portray concerned activists as extremists. That's unfortunately what's happening. And even though it's quite a bargain to solve climate change, the IPCC has calculated how much it would take, and this is from 2018, so the price has gone up a bit, but not orders of magnitude. They need $2.4 trillion, and you think, hey, that's a lot, but it's 2.5% of the world's GDP. So if every country on Earth yields 2.5% of its GDP, and I think with COVID, higher prices were paid. And if we use that to wisely invest, then we can at least stay with the 1.5 to 2 centigrades. So, every year that we don't do anything, an additional 0.3 to 0.9 trillion dollars are actually thrown away. So inaction costs us a lot of money because we have to fix it later. In the meantime, our government is still investing in the fossil sector with about $8 billion a year, which it's madness. As Antonio Guterres also said, climate activists are sometimes depicted as dangerous radicals, but the truly dangerous radicals are the countries that are increasing the production of fossil fuels. Investing in new fossil fuels infrastructure is moral and economic madness. And then, also notice the economic word. So even if you would have no morals, it is still very foolish to not act. So it's good to learn from past mistakes. I'd like to remind you of the coal energy. In 2016, a new center was opened while many scientists already said, don't do this, this is madness. Some political parties still thought it was a good idea, cheap. And now in 2022, so that's 6 years after opening, we have this problem. We actually need to stop it. Well, now we have this problem with gas. Now we're opening it. We're starting them again. If we would have invested in alternative energy means, we would have fixed several problems in one go. The ministries will want to search for new gas. Well, they have searched. They want to open new gas fields in the North Sea, which completely contradicts IPCC. They say coal and gas-fired power plants will likely need to retire about 25 years earlier in the past, or if you want to stay within 1.5, 30 years earlier. The risks of stranded power plants that you can't use are greatest in countries with newer fossil infrastructure. Well, this fossil fuel infrastructure doesn't even exist yet, and they want to go there. And it's not that then tomorrow they'll have gas. They hope it's they sell it like, well, it will be 1 to 3 years, but I think the 3 years is already a quite optimistic time scale. Normally it's about 5 years plus, and then you're just starting to use this fossil fuel. What we think is a solution as Extinction Rebellion is Citizens' Assembly. This is not some strange radical idea. It has been tried and tested in several countries already. You have a cross-section of the public, so really a fair representation of all walks of life, of whatever divisions you make. They are informed by several experts. They may not agree with each other, and that's fine, but they really should be respected people in their fields. Then there are extensive roundtable discussions within this group, and they can ask more expertise. In the end, they come to a conclusion, this is what we should do. And if you do this right, and that is if you give them a mandate, this can work very well to bring changes that otherwise you just couldn't sell to your population. For example, Ireland is a famous case. Their abortion was discussed and at length. And finally, the country agreed. Of course, there are still people against, but they agreed that abortion shouldn't be completely illegal everywhere. This wouldn't have been possible without the Citizen Assembly. People really thought, okay, my persons that I identify with are have said this is a wise choice, and there is transparency, so I can look into why, and that works perfectly. On the other hand, there have also been citizens' assemblies where the group made a recommendation and the government didn't like that and did something else anyway, and that's not a fertile ground for the future of this process. So in Ireland, France, Germany, UK, Belgium, this has been done for climate change matters and quite successfully. In France, most of the recommendations were applied, some not, but most were, and it works very well. So these are the Extinction Rebellion demands, which are the same for Scientists Rebellion as well as sister group, we fully support this. So how can we help make this change? For scientists, think you're the science officer. And all the measurements that you see, they show you, we're heading to this iceberg. And you already feel the boat a bit wobbly. You think, this is not good. You've sent several notices with more and more exclamation marks, but it's not getting through. The captain is too busy entertaining the guests, and he doesn't want any sudden ship moves. So he's saying, let's just carry on and let the engineer think of a magic fix so that we can suddenly move this boat 90 degrees starboard. As a science officer, you can write another alert. For climate change, this was the World Scientist Warning of Climate Emergency. It was underwritten by over 11,000 scientists, and nothing has been done with that. So, getting a bit fed up. As a person, you can vote, and absolutely everybody should do this. And for parties who have a provable track record of caring for your future. With this four-year election cycle, it is a bit difficult that politicians fear being voted away if they do anything rash. There's still limited climate science awareness and all these disinformation campaigns that we talked about. So here you see a list of all kinds of climate protests, actions that have been done in the past. These are groupings. There are still a lot. There are a lot also outside of this, but this is a good catalog with how many times certain actions were done. You see petitions, campaigns, street protests, involvement of NGOs, many different things which have been done a lot, with limited success. The green bullets are completely legal actions. The blue are civil disobediences, and in the case of strikes, it can be legal. It is not always the case. The red in the bottom, that is potentially violent actions like property damage, sabotage. This is not something that Extinction Rebellion supports, advises. We think it's counterproductive doesn't yield any benefit. There is a wide range of actions. And it's hard to quantify exactly which is responsible for what, because oftentimes we use several different actions, and we think that's also the best to really diversify, to not to do one kind of action, to only petition, to only do a lawsuit. Or do only a non-violent disobedience act, but to combine several types, and that's much, much more effective to put pressure from different sides. First I want to talk here about legal actions. There have, very good work is being done. Urgenda, Klimaatzaak, probably the most Dutch people will know it. There was a case against the government because the government did too little to protect its citizens against climate change. That was one, so the judge said they should immediately do more. Then the government countersued because they didn't want to do more, which was also one. So now, grudgingly, they are doing more, but it's not from the heart. Actually, last week in the UK, a similar case was won, also in high court, because the government didn't really want to do anything. So in the UK, there's also hope with that. Milieudefensie is also a famous case. They have sued Shell to clean up its act because it is responsible for a huge amount of the pollution worldwide. Other oil companies, same thing, but this was also a test case. If Shell must do it, then in all likelihood, the other oil companies also should. This is also, the more cases are being prepared. Then a very fundamental case is ecocide. Of course, genocide. Ecocide is the nature's equivalent. If you damage a lot of nature, then you should, it should be able to sue you and keep you responsible for that crime. And top lawyers are now working on this very slowly, but to make this happen worldwide, that takes a lot of time, but they're doing very good things here. So this takes a lot, it's vital, but it takes a long time. Then we get to another non-violent civil disobedience. I'd like to start with some examples. In the past, women's suffrage, women were fed up with not being able to have to vote. And for a long time, they asked very friendly, please, can we vote? And that didn't really do much for them. So the suffragette movement came up, and they tied themselves to rails in order to not be removed immediately. They are some of the first known cases for mass civil disobedience, and it worked for them, and we're better for it. Then a lot of civil disobedience is also in the case of systemic discrimination. There are a lot of famous cases. Martin Luther King is, of course, a very well-known example. But also, Cornel West, he is a professor from Princeton, and he has also been several times arrested for protesting against racial discrimination. Recently also 31 Harvard professors, that was in 2017, that was against the DACA, which was a quite evil legislative piece of work in the US. A lot of professors, a lot of scientists are hitting the street for these kinds of causes. Vietnam War, another well-known case. Then Noam Chomsky, a very famous linguist, Howard Zinn, also a famous historian. Daniel Ellsberg from the Pentagon Papers, for those who do not know it, the Pentagon Papers have actually sort of ended the war the war in Vietnam because he opened up about dirty tricks were being done in the Vietnam War, and then the people turned against it. All right, is this better? Not yet. All right, we're back. Okay, well, I hope you read through the slides. Last case, the nuclear arms build-up. Carl Sagan, which is probably one of the most famous scientists of the last century. He was also arrested for, against this nuclear arms build-up. So there are a lot of examples for the of scientists which hit the street. For the climate emergency, we also see no alternative to also hit the streets, because writing more papers that apparently doesn't work. So Greta. She was not a scientist yet. She was just in education, but she broke the law with her school strike, and that set up a whole movement. So that was good. Here you see a more recent example, where actually friends from Scientist Rebellion are also active, blocking. I won't repeat myself. There are a lot of professionals which are really don't want to take it any longer, have tried all the normal ways of getting their message across, and it just doesn't work. So then we get to Scientist Rebellion. I guess most people know Extinction Rebellion, but I'll very briefly explain the relationship between different organizations. Let me start by Fridays for Future. This is the movement that Greta Thunberg has initiated. It has an education affinity. They have some civil disobedience, but then only the strikes. Real scientists which have graduated. You have Scientists for Future, which is actually quite big in the Netherlands, and you have Scientists Rebellion, which is sort of the rebellious sister of Scientists for Future. We know each other very well. Many people are in both organizations, and we have a very good standing relationship. Scientists for Future doesn't do civil disobedience. Scientist Rebellion does. Then, Extinction Rebellion, of course, they've been have been hitting the streets quite a lot. They have a sister group, University Rebellion, which is actually students which have not graduated yet, but also do civil disobedience at the university. Besides the educational angle, you have lawyers for Extinction Rebellion, you have healthcare professionals for Extinction Rebellion, you have a lot of different subgroups which have all different focus, and so we get along together quite well. Scientist Rebellion is active in a lot of countries. These are just that I know of, but I may have skipped some. Our actions should be as targeted as possible, just like Xinxin. We have actions at large-scale investors in pollutions, like banks, pension funds, and big companies, which also could do better. At key decision makers. And then we get to the government, where we do a lot of actions, at ministries, and also at other government bodies. We also do public awareness raising, mostly at cases. We do mostly at places which have a link to either one of the previous two groups. This should you hear me? Is it good like this? Not like this? Better? Sorry? It's up? That's a shame. Up. Sorry? I don't get. Oh, yeah, I can use that. That's easy.
Is this working? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we go do it like this. This is an example action. This is an example action of Scientist Rebellion in Berlin, where 14 scientists were blocking the Kronplatz in Brücke, which is quite in the center of Berlin. To demand stronger political action. In Madrid, there was also a large group which went to went to the National Congress, and they spilled fake, biodegradable, easily washable blood to show all the needless deaths that had been done by not taking actions. Well, for reference, about 37% of the heat wave victims could be fixed. Unneeded. Uganda is severely hit by climate change. They have several roadblocks to demand stronger action. This is my group. In Den Haag, we blocked, for example, the Ministry of Economic Affairs. There were 7 arrests. Requesting more action from the Ministry of Economic Affairs. There are many, many, many more. Too many to mention. So, what can you do? Don't be the dog. That's the first. It's good if you, as much as you aren't aware yet, study and share scientific consensus. The IPCC reports have a summary for policymakers, which is very easy to read. So I would say, do the working group 2 and the working group 3 summaries. They're quite clear. They're quite obvious. Don't believe social media claims without fact-checking. There's this Klimaat Help Desk for Dutch people, in which you can really ask an expert, I don't get this, why is this happening? And they're very good. Speak up, lead by example, how imperfect it may be. You can't you don't need to be perfect. I mean, do what you can. Use your privilege for good. As I already mentioned, voting for a party which has a history of caring for your future and your kids' future or your friends' kids' future should be very easy to determine which do and which don't. Move your money to a company which does not invest itself in polluting services. You can use, as a Dutchie, the Eerlijke Geldwijzer, for example. Invest in green companies instead of, for example, proof of work coins. Have a lot better return on investment. And please lower your emissions. NL, Netherlands, consumes about 3.6% times what's sustainable. You have this overshoot day, which is actually calculating on which day of the year we actually used our carbon credits for the year. And for the Netherlands, that's in April, I believe. Please fly less, drive less. If you need to drive, drive electric. That really helps a lot. Eat less or no meat or dairy because they're very polluting. Prefer plant-based. Now it's very easy to do. It used to be more difficult, but now in 2022, it's very easy. And in general, buy less stuff. Because we really are a very consuming country, continent, and that's not good. For example, yeah, here is a pile of clothing, actually mountains of clothing that are in Uganda and also in Chile. And these are clothing that are just haven't even made the stores, but in this fast fashion, okay, it's already outdated. It's just thrown away, and well, we don't see it, but it's there and it's ever growing. So yeah, try to buy less, recycle. That helps. Then, second thing, connect to peers. Both of these do not have a direct non-violent direct action focus, but they're very good to join. ClimateAction.tech is for techies who want to make a change. It's a community with a lot of activity. It's join it if you're interested in this topic. Effective Altruism is also a very good organization. They focus on high-impact philanthropy and trying to avoid catastrophic risks. And they're also very scientific in this. And they can also advise on which goals you can which funds you can donate to have the highest impact, either for climate or also for other topics. And they have, for students, they have career guidance, so that's also nice. And then, my last part, get off your chair. Get active in the climate movement. For scientists, Scientist Rebellion, would advise if you also, if non-violent direct action doesn't scare you. If it does, Scientists for Future is also a fantastic group. These other University Rebellion, Fridays for Future, other Extinction Rebellion groups, and Greenpeace and Milieu Defensie and others also have direct action, not civil disobedience usually. But they also need volunteers for their actions. This is actually a Banksy which supported a Extinction Rebellion strike. That's it for my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your talk. So remember that if you want to ask questions, please come line up by the microphone. We have a first question, and I'll give you the mic back.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion. Is it working?
Yes, sort of.
Okay. There are at least 3 manuals how to start an uprising, which have been used in all over society, all over the world. And I can send you the links to that. They are on internet. Alinsky is one for social change. There is from dictatorship to democracy is a manual. And there's a third one recently published by people in Eastern Europe. If you give me your mail address, I will send it to you.
I'll give my mail address. It's there's my mail address. We are already a Science Rebellion. We read a lot research on this. But it's. I'll check whether these are part of.
Hi, Ellen. Thank you very much for this presentation. You gave a very concise overview, like a true scientist, of what happened so far. And you were telling it to us with a friendly smile on your face, presenting the facts. Why are you not mad as hell?
I am mad as hell. I actually, before this talk, talked with other people on the camp and said, well, I hope that my emotion doesn't get the better of me, that I can't present this. So this is my way of coping.
Okay.
The science I hear about climate usually is physical or environmental and that sort of thing. Are there also scientists from economy or from legal departments who could help citizens say, this economist computed that they have wasted so much of the tax money and I now refuse to pay it as a citizen? I mean, I think you can get 60 million volunteers for that.
Well, in Scientist Rebellion, I don't think we have. In Extinction Rebellion, there are also a lot of scientists, really from about all angles. I'm not sure about economic professors because that's sort of a sensitive topic in XR. The lawyers, there are a lot, so that's...
This climate change date, for every country, you could say you're only entitled to pay your taxes until April if you're Dutch.
Yeah.
I mean, and get legal part department to support that and have 60 million individual lawsuits against 60 million citizens. That might get some people moving.
It's, I think it might. We'll try.
And one to check signal in case there are any questions. No, please do line up. No questions there. So we have I think we have time for just one last question here.
And one last question is, I saw the options for donating as well. But if there would be a fund that would make it possible to donate to buy a lot of tractors for scientists, would that help?
Definitely.
But would Science Rebellion be prepared to use them?
Well, scientists, we have a global. It is a global organization, and we don't have a specific Dutch, but we have overarching donation possibility. And then, it's not earmarked as yet. And also, I must say that, the different countries are relatively autonomous, and some have a slightly different perspective. I mean, not about the science, but about the best way to do things. Then there should be a specific fund for that.
Well, let's. Why don't you follow up with them just after? Let's thank Elwyn again for an incredible talk and some really intense things to be thinking about the rest of the day.